Amen. Started. Amen. And let's ask God's blessing on tonight's teaching. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that we forever belong to you. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We're connected. I'm thankful for that by the blood of the Lamb. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I ask that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. That you would lead us into all truth, teach us things we do not know, and that can only be done through the Holy Spirit. Father, we glorify you tonight, and we thank you that when we leave here, we will not be the same as the way we came in. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen and amen. I just first wanted to just thank a sister in the Lord. I won't mention her last name because I don't know if I'm supposed to, but she donated a headset system to us, wireless headset system to us, so she may be listening tonight. Her name is Amy, and we say praise the Lord for her, and thank the Lord for faithful people who just love this ministry, don't even go to this church, but just, you know, want to see us excel and do what God's called us to do. So now Cindy can sing. La! Yeah, she can sing. She'll have the Garth Brooks headphones headset on, and I might use it one night for teaching or something. I don't know. We'll see. It might mess my hair up or something. But anyways, all right, God is good, man. I just had to say that. He's so faithful to us. He blesses us, and I just can't thank God enough for his people. You know, the remnant are real. The remnant are real people in the body. They love the kingdom of God, and it just, I love getting around people who are real, not plastic. Come on, somebody. And so we're blessed by that. All right, well, we're going to get into tonight's teaching, and we've been talking about prayer. And this is our new time of teaching, new topic, if you will. And the Lord led me to this. And speaking of prayer, y'all need to be praying for the Middle East. You need to pray for the Far East. You need to pray for the world as things are spinning out of control and flare-ups are happening all over. If you haven't been listening to the news, we just need to keep the world in prayer. Amen. And for the missionaries that are in foreign countries, because every time there's a conflict or swords are rattling, it always affects those that are there trying to do kingdom work. Amen. And so we just need to believe God to be able to bless those that are there and work through this mess as we head to the coming of the Lord. All right, so prayer. Last time we got together, we were talking about these things that I want to give you again, kind of like a review. I gave you this quote. I said, prayer is one of the most untapped resources available to a believer. It's one of the most untapped resources available to a believer. And we are hindered in our prayer life because we lack the full understanding of our access to the Father. There's nothing that hinders you from a tremendous relationship with God except yourself. Okay? Our greatest hindrance to cultivating a great prayer life is ourself. We blame it on the devil, but Jesus defeated the devil. We blame it on everybody else, but, you know, he gave us access. He gave us opportunity. He gave us favor. He gave us permission to go into his throne, to boldly enter in, and to possess the things that he paid for on the cross of Calvary. I talked about the law first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. We were talking about prayer being communication, it being communion, and it being dialogue. Again, one of my goals on teaching a prayer is to get you out of the religious routine and the ritual that prayer has become in the body and get you to a place that's authentic, that's transparent, organic, if you will, and really second to none, okay? So we talked about that. We showed you how that Adam and God, they communicated. They had dialogue. They spoke. This is the beginning illustration. The law first mentioned, I began to see my Father and how that he spoke to Adam and how they had relationship. If that was then why isn't it now? Well, of course it's now because God doesn't change. Man changes. We change. We're the one with the issues. We're the one with the attitude. Somebody needs to wave at me or just look at me and nod or do something. You know, we're temperamental. I mean, one day we're on fire, the next day we're cold as ice. All right. And so we have to get through those barriers, and we're gonna do that. I believe this is going to liberate you as it's liberating me, and it has liberated me and this understanding about prayer life. Okay, so Genesis chapter 3, remember Shema, to understand or to regard, the familiarity. They knew the voice of God. They knew the atmosphere of God. They knew the presence of God in the garden, in that experience. Okay, that means they had communion. They talked. They had dialogue. It was a beautiful thing. Remember Genesis chapter 4, we showed you where the Father didn't change. He did not change. He was still there with them. And then Exodus chapter 3, we talked about Moses and the burning bush and how that when Moses turned and had attention towards it, God began to speak. Remember, God is always the initiator of things when it comes to prayer. He initiated from the beginning. He wanted to communicate with man, and he still does today. He loves talking with you. You need to get that in your mind. That needs to be in your suke. That needs to be deep inside your soul, rooted, branded, tattooed, if you will. God loves to speak to me. God loves to dialogue with me. God loves to communicate with me. No different than he does with Billy Graham or some other name. Throw any name you want out there. Many people look at people on pedestals and say, well, I can never have a relationship with like that. That's insanity. You can have that relationship, because there's a difference between calling and ministry and personal relationship with God. A calling and a ministry is what God granted somebody and gave them favor, but the personal relationship is still the same. You have to pay the sacrificial price to have a relationship with God. I'm telling you, we need to get that understanding. By the way, 7 salvations this morning. I had to mention that. 7 salvations of the county jail. Praise God forever. I believe God's still talking. Amen? So we thank the Lord for that. So prayer is more about attitude than it is position. Remember, these are some of the quotes. I'm just going back over them. Prayer is more about attitude than it is position. The religious group, you know, they want to teach you position. They want to teach you theological things about prayer and the calisthenics of prayer. But it's all about the attitude of the heart. It's all about wanting to speak to the Father and realizing that he's for you and not against you. So prayer is a mindset. Prayer is about position of the thought life. Again, not the physical position of praying, but the position of the thought life. It's a prayer conscience. Remember that? All right, so we're going to talk more about that, and we're going to go on this journey. We're going to find out about this powerful and wonderful gift that God has given us called prayer and this communication that we can have on a daily basis. Okay, so here we go. For tonight's teaching on prayer, I want to talk about the dynamics of prayer. I want to lead you to a very powerful scripture and experience that took place in the Bible that really is going to complement what we started on teaching last week. So here's a few comments. Prayer is more than words. Prayer is more than words. It is a communication of the total man. Prayer is more than words. It is a communication of the total man. My mouth, my mind, and my body can communicate with the Spirit of God, as does my spirit man. Let me try that again. Prayer is more than words. It is a communication of the total man. Remember, you are a total person. You're not just one. You are three: spirit, soul, and body. You're first a spirit that possesses a soul that hangs around in this body, moves around in the vehicle called the flesh. So it is the communication of the total man. My mouth, my mind, and my body can communicate with the Spirit of God, as does my spirit man. I can have relationship with God in all realms. I experience God. How many of y'all feel the presence of God when you're in worship? When you're at home praying, you're experiencing him. Okay? So watch this. We separate prayer as a vocal action. We separate prayer as a vocal action, repeated routine, and ritual. But true prayer is a lifestyle. Let me try that again. We separate prayer as a vocal action. We separate it. We say, no, prayer is just when you say, thus saith the Lord, and thus thou, and do this, and, you know, King James, and all that. And we say that's a vocal action of prayer, repeated routine, and ritual. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Repeated routine. You get up in the morning, you do the same thing. You say your specific prayer. You eat your breakfast. You do your specific prayer at lunch. You almost get in a car accident. You say another extra prayer. Somebody help me. Some that live in big cities, you know what I'm talking about. You pray all the way to work. And it's a ritual, but prayer is a lifestyle. Prayer is a lifestyle. Please mark that down. Prayer is a lifestyle. This is what God wants us to discover in these last days, that prayer and relationship, it's a lifestyle. You don't need anybody to crank you up. You don't need anybody to put you in motion for prayer. It ought to be just a lifestyle. It just flows out of your spirit. It flows out of your life, okay? It is how we live, and it's how we do life. Now, this is maybe a little foreign to some, this teaching, and others is elementary. But I want to lay this foundation for you because so many of us struggle with prayer. I'm the only one who raises my hand, but that's okay. We struggle with prayer. We struggle with communicating with God. We struggle with our acceptance of Him and His acceptance of us and all these things. We have hang-ups, and we have all kinds of complexes in our lives that keep us from a wonderful relationship with God. And one of the ways you're going to destroy that is recognizing and realizing that prayer is a lifestyle, that you are accepted, and that you have the ability to go into the presence of God at any moment. Okay? So it's how we live, and it's how we do life. So we talked about a prayer conscience. It's nothing more than a God conscience or God awareness. Whatever words you want to use that fits you. It's a God awareness. It's prayer awareness. To be aware that God is here with you all the time. You know, it amazes me that a lot of Christians live their life as though God is so far away from them. You can tell by that how they act, how they think, and what they say, and what they do. And then when they have an emergency, they speed dial God, and they have to holler and scream to hope to get His attention. When if you would have cultivated the relation all along, then you would have known right well in your soul that all is well with you and God, and He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's right there before you can think the thought or speak the prayer. He's there. Amen. But a lot of believers don't have that reality because they don't live that way. They live with God in a glass box, break in a time of emergency, pull the switch, and then here comes God down the super slide from heaven. Listen, if you would walk into a room and walk into a place or walk through your life recognizing that God is with you, He'll never leave you, never forsake you, you'll have a God conscience about you, a God awareness, and a prayer awareness will be around you. And you'll just be in communion with God. Whether you're praying with your mouth, tongues, or whether you're praying in English, or whether you're just thinking the thoughts, you're fully aware that God is right there in your room with you. Isn't that powerful? That's how I live. I live with the reality that God is with me 24/7, 365. I'm surrounded by angels. I'm in connection with heaven. Heaven's in connection with me. Though I cannot see them and I cannot completely understand everything that God has for me in the realm of the Spirit, I understand the Bible says that if God be for me, who could ever be against me? And He's right there. Do you see that? And so we have to get this in our prayer lives. We got to go into a new dimension in prayer. This old prayer routine is not working for the church. It's religiosity. It's rigid. It's not working. We're not seeing heaven touching earth like we should be because we only use God when we need Him. People only get righteous when they walk into a church or see the pastor at Walmart. Holy, holy, holy pastors in the room. You know what I'm saying? All these different attitudes and these attributes, and that's not how to live. You live in relationship with God as though He is right there. He is that unseen guest in the room at your dinner table. Okay, so That's what we're trying to accomplish in this teaching, so that we can be people that just freely walk in relationship with God and freely walk in prayer and freely walk in dialogue with God, so we can have God right there on the spot when we need him. And man, we can see healings and miracles take place and prophetic words come out of our spirit. We don't have to sit there and pray in tongues for 20 minutes to get stirred up. You're already stirred up because you prayed 30 minutes before in the Holy Ghost. You were already ready. You read your Bible. You had relationship with God and communion and communication and dialogue. And now you're ready to go out in the world. But so many times the church is like a Model T. We got to crank it up. It's truth. It happens in Sunday mornings. You people got to get cranked up. Can't lift your hands. Can't get off your duff. Can't get up and sit and worship God and stand up and say, God, I love you. You got to have somebody cranking you up. Well, if you pray before you came in, you wouldn't need anybody to lift you up. Even if you don't like the song or you can't sing a tune. I'm not looking at anybody. Don't look at me, Elder. I can sing a little bit. She looked right up. She did them that sheep look. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And she's like, should I look at him? I better not look at him. Well, I know I can't sing, but I try. But the reality is this, man, if you love God, you just come in and you're charged up. The atmosphere is charged up. The atmosphere is full of his glory. And you add to what's already here, man, it makes an explosion. It makes a wonderful presence and time in the Lord. Okay, so imagine that if you did that at your workplace or you did that on, when you go out and witness or whatever. So let's look at this thing. Let's take this journey. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to check this out. I'm going to show you a different perspective on this particular passage. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We can begin reading. In verse 1, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. And he made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. In verse 2, and only the people sacrifice in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. Verse 3 is where I want you to highlight and get ready to take your notes on. And Solomon loved the Lord. Key number one, Solomon loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And as we teach through this, and I show you this, you have to see that first key is that he loved the Lord. He had a great love for the Father. Watch the second thing. Walking in the statutes of David, his father. So not only did Solomon love the Lord, he also wanted to be like his daddy. And what was so great about David? Well, David was a man after God's own heart. He was a worshiping warrior. I love David. I love David because he was transparent. Even in the midst of his sin, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, create in me a clean heart. And he did something. This is a little extra on the side here. He did something that nobody else did in the Old Testament. David was able to reach into the dispensation of grace and receive forgiveness when forgiveness wasn't found for the crime and for the sin that he committed. That's amazing. But David walked in this dimension with God. And he found redemption, he found forgiveness. So Solomon loved God, key number one, and then he walked in the statutes of his father David. And he only sacrificed burnt incense in high places. Verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon. He went to Gibeon. Now let me talk to you just a minute about Gibeon, because it's very important that we establish this. Gibeon is the place where the tabernacle of Moses, the tent of meeting, had temporarily been placed during its journeys. You know, it moved many times throughout the years. And so the tabernacle was there, and Solomon went there. So it's very important that you see that. And you can find some of that information in 2 Chronicles 1:3. Okay, so it's the tent of the meeting or the tabernacle. And I'll put that together in a minute, why that matters. So he went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Notice he went to the tent of meeting. He went to the great high place. He knew where the glory was. He knew where the meeting place of God was. So he loved God. He walked in the statutes of his father David. He wanted to be like his dad. And then he went to the place of meeting. He went to where God hangs out. Come on now. There's a key right there. He went to the place where God hangs out. Sometimes your prayer life is a journey. Sometimes your actions of pursuing God will cause you and require you to pursue higher than where you are right now. So if your prayer life is mundane, if it's stuck in the mud, if you will, you need to go to a higher place in God. Okay? We should always be trying to do that. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Now, I'm setting you up for this because I want you to see the heart and the attitude of Solomon. Solomon loved God. Solomon wanted to experience God. 1,000 burnt offering was a lot. It didn't take one day. It took several days for them to offer these burnt sacrifices. And if you look at the amount that he sacrificed, it represented not only the wealth that he had at that moment as being king, but it represented his love for God and for his access to God or his acceptance from God. Do you see that? That was huge. In verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Where did he appear? At the tent of meeting. He met with him, and he met with him at a time of his sacrifice that he gave unto the Lord. Okay? Watch this. So he appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, here he is at the tent of meeting. He just made several days of tremendous sacrifice to God. He's in a position of taking over the throne of his David. These were not small shoes. David was a wonderful king, a phenomenal king. Despite his error and his mistakes in his flesh, he was the beloved David. And now Solomon is in this position, and he has to take over the reins of a great king. So Solomon wanted knowledge. He wanted wisdom. He wanted understanding. I'm going to prove all that in a minute. So the Lord God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. Solomon had fallen asleep in the tent of meeting. Solomon had gone to that place of the tabernacle to meet with God, and he falls asleep. And the Lord appeared to him, and he says, what shall I give thee? Now, I want you to see something here. The dream and the prayer were real. They were real both to God and to Solomon. And I'm going to show you another dimension of your prayer life and how that prayer is a lifestyle, and that prayer could always be a continuous part of your conscience, a part of your life, a part of the air that you breathe. Watch. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, for thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. So he's in a dream, but he's talking to the Father. He's having dialogue. But what is happening here is that what Solomon was thinking about during the day and during the time of the sacrifice and everything that was on Solomon's heart, God began to deal with it through his dream. In other words, his prayers were being answered. They were being mirrored. They were being revealed. The ponderings of Solomon's heart were being brought out by the Spirit of God, even as Solomon slept. Watch it. This is a really cool revelation. You see, God never sleeps. Your spirit man never sleeps. Your physical man sleeps. Your physical body goes to sleep. It takes your mind a while to go to bed. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Especially you've been a long day. You know, your mind just is kicking. You're thinking about what you have to do. Finally, you pass out and you're gone. But your father, Zephaniah, says that God praises over you. while you sleep. So God is active during your nighttime. And this is not going to be a teaching on dreams necessarily, but this is going to be a teaching on understanding how God speaks to us and how we can have communication. So we know that Solomon was thinking these things. I'm going to prove this out in just a minute by the very words of Solomon and by the prayer that he made and God communicating and dialoguing. But he was thinking about it. Why? Because of what he just said here. He realized that he just received the inheritance of the throne and of the kingdom and of the great responsibility that was before him. And so what he took to bed with him, God began to answer. Here's what I want you to see. The things that you think about, the things that you continuously be in dialogue with God, a communion with him during prayer, God will answer you in many, many different ways. It doesn't have to necessarily be an audible voice. It could be in your inner man, or it can be through a dream, or it can be through your nighttime. How many of y'all ever went to bed and you prayed, you're frustrated about something or whatever, and you woke up and you had the answer? God just gave you the answer. He was communicating with you. He was having dialogue. He had the answer already for you. And some of us have actually dreamed dreams on how to fix things or how to talk to somebody. You ever saw that? You saw in a dream how you're supposed to go speak to somebody. Okay? So watch. He says again, verse 6, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. So he's thinking, he's during the daytime, Solomon's thinking about these things. He's like, you know, you did all these things for my father. I'm going to need the same help. Watch this. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. And I know not how to go out or to come in. See, he's confessing what he was thinking about in the daytime. He was confessing what he was thinking about during the times of sacrifice when he was ascending up the hill to Gibeon, 7 miles or so outside of Jerusalem. He was talking and pondering in his heart his insufficiency and his, you know, inabilities to be this king. You ever been there? And he proves it by revealing it through his dream. He said, I'm a little child. Now, Solomon was about 20 years old at this time. He wasn't a little child. He was a grown man. What was he talking about? Well, the Hebrew word there for little means unimportant, insignificant. He realized in his own conscience, he realized in his own being, his own understanding, his own psuche, man, I'm unimportant. I'm insufficient. I'm not able to take on and tackle this great responsibility. And so God brings it out. And he says, I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Solomon admits it. This is one of the best prayers you could ever pray right here. This is a prayer that I pray continuously for this church, for myself, leading the congregation. I don't know how to come in and go out. I don't know what to say. I don't know what you want me to broadcast and declare and decree to the nations. And verse 8 says, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people. Again, he realizes, man, I can't lead the children of Israel. This is the greatest nation on the planet. Man, we have Jehovah God. He answers by fire. And all the great things that God had done through David and the patriarchs. And here he was now a king. Don't you think you'd be a little intimidated if you were handed the keys to a great kingdom? Or if they called you tomorrow and said, we need you in Washington right now. Where a helicopter's landing right now in Carnesville, and Tony, we need you. And then we turn on CNN or whatever, and there's Tony as president. I know him. He'd be like, I don't know you, but I think Tony would be in the back room there, God help me. You know what I mean? And this is what he was going through. Tony said, I don't want that job, man. And thy servants in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. This is a prayer, but it's a dream. But this was reality of the ponderings and the wondering of the heart of Solomon. This is what he was thinking about during the time of sacrifice. This is what he was thinking about as he ascended into the throne of David and he's taken control. But yet God chooses to use a dream to communicate with him and him with God through prayer. Dialogue, communication. Again, this may not be the way he speaks to you, but what you need to see here is that if you always have that prayer conscience, if you always have a prayer awareness and a God awareness, God will speak to you anytime, any way he wants to. Woo, glory to God. You'd be just driving down the road and God's speaking to your heart. Because your mind and your heart, your spirit man, your flesh is in tune to God. We need that in the body. We need to be alive unto Christ. We need to be alert and aware of our surroundings. Okay. He says, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Help me. He said, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And watch this. And so the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. It pleased him. In other words, it brought forth favor and access that God had already reserved for Solomon. He just wanted Solomon to ask for it. You see, I believe that you and I have so many things God's waiting to give us that all we got to do is start asking for it. We don't dream big enough. We don't imagine big enough. We don't think big enough. And it doesn't matter the time on the clock. It doesn't matter how much is left of life and the things that we're facing around us. We need to say, God, let there be an end time anointing on me. Let there be an end time revelation in my life. Let me see things beyond where I am. Show me how that I can be effective in these last days, regardless of how dark it gets outside. Show me how I can be a lighthouse and a lamp. See, we don't give up. The principles of God don't change because we're in the last days. The principles of God don't change because this is happening on one part of the world and this is happening on another part of the world. It doesn't take anything. Nothing takes God by surprise. Isn't that right? So give forth thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge these thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked this thing. Because he asked it, it really, really blessed the Lord. Verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 11. I want to show you a different 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 11. Let me show you another understanding of that. Can we do that real quick? Hold your finger. We'll come back. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 11. Let me just show you something. It wasn't that he just said this thing. Watch this, verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart. Because this was in thine heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11. I want you to see it. I could quote it, but I want you to look at it with me. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, or long life. You can go back to 1 Kings. So it was already in the heart of Solomon. Are you seeing the picture I'm trying to paint you? It was already in his heart. He was already in prayer. He was already in dialogue. He was already in meditation. He was already in communication with God. He was already thinking about it. He was already wondering about it. And what I want you to see for you and I is God is fully aware of the ponderings of our heart and the meditations and the thoughts of our minds. He's fully aware of it. And if we would just stay in connection with him during the day and continuously worship and continuously pray and talk and ask, God will begin to communicate with us in wonderful, mighty ways. It may not be this way in prayer, but it might be. Maybe tonight somebody will go to bed with a prayer and God speaks to you through a dream. And you have dialogue, or you wake up and the answer is already there, or he gives you a scripture. The key is this: as we walk in love and we walk in the statutes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must continuously be mindful that he's right there, that he's wanting to do everything that he's promised to do in our lives. But we have to have that heart. We have to have that attitude. We have to have that mindset. So go back to verse 11. It says, "And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing," or this thing was in your heart already, "and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words." You need to underline that. You need to highlight that. "I've done according to thy words. I have fulfilled the desires. I have given you the answer to your prayers." Why? Because it was already in his heart, and he was a worshiper, and he desired God, and he wanted to see these things come to pass, and he wanted to experience God. You see, that's all part of prayer, is having that God awareness and that God consciousness in our lives, being fully aware of what God is doing in our lives. That's what he wants for us. Now watch this. He said, "Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so there was none like thee before thee, neither after shall there arise like unto thee." That's pretty amazing. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. That's the promise that God gives to us. He said, "I'll give you the desires of your heart." Watch verse 13. "And I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked." Everybody say bonus. God will give you a bonus. God will give you extra. God will do something beyond your normal capacity. He'll do something beyond what you've asked for. That's why he does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. According to what? The power that works inside of you. That's what I say. We don't dream big enough. We don't ask big enough. We don't think big enough. We don't communicate big enough. We don't talk to him enough and have that relationship to where we understand that if God be for me, who can ever be against me? And that he'll do the exceedingly abundant above all we'd ever ask or think. So he says, "I have given thee also that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor." Think about this now. "So that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." He said, "I'm going to do something so special in you, Solomon, that nobody's going to be like you." I believe God wants to do that in the church. Not just individually, but I believe he wants to do it corporately, that there's no generation like this generation. We always look back at the church of Acts, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate the acts of the apostles and the acts of the Holy Spirit. I appreciate the revival hours of the 40s and the 50s and on, the great moves of God. But I believe God wants to do something so great in the church, so great that it can't compare, that I believe the prophets and the angels looked into this day, that the former and the latter rain will come down in one mighty flood of a great toad-strangling revival, if you will, just a flood of glory. I believe that because we're not going out of this planet bruised, beaten, busted, and disgusted. Though we'll have our battle scars, we'll have our wounds, and we're going to be bandaged up and different things like that through battle. But the reality is, I believe that the blinded eyes, the deaf ears, the lame are going to walk. Come on, we're going to see the dead raised. We ain't going to worry about camera and camera times because they're going to be following us with cameras, showing forth the mighty works of God. Just like they're going to do with the two witnesses. You know how I teach about that in the coming days. And so that's amazing. I find this just amazing because Solomon's heart was pondering it. He was in relationship. He said, "Man, I want to be like my daddy. I love God. I want to walk in his statutes. But I see all of this that's before me. How am I going to live this life? How can I compare? How can I step into daddy's throne, if you will?" And God says, "You know what? I hear that pondering. I understand your prayers, and I'm answering it. And not only am I going to answer, but I'm going to give you extra. How many of y'all could use some extra? Amen. He'll give it to you. But the key in the beginning was that he walked in love. He loved God and he loved the statutes. But he also realized he couldn't do this without God. He also realized he couldn't do this with God. So watch verse 14. And if thou walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father did. Look at the condition. It's one thing to get to the throne. It's another thing to stay in the throne. It's one thing to get blessed. It's another thing to keep the blessing. So he gives them a condition. If you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Whoa. No pressure. You know, be like your daddy. He was awesome. He was phenomenal. Was none like King David. By the way, if you can do like he did, I'm going to let you live a while. And Solomon woke, and behold, it was a dream. It was a dream, but it was real. It was interconnected. He was asleep physically. The Bible says he went to sleep, but God communicated with him. And he woke up to the reality of a dream, but he also woke up to the reality that this was authentic and this really did happen. So our takeaway from this is understanding that God is always wanting to speak to us, that there's always communion between us, there's always communication between us, and we got to learn how to activate that. And I believe the way you activate this is starting in the beginning of your day. It begins with that prayer conscience, that God awareness, that he's in every room. He's in every conversation. He's wherever you're walking. He's right there. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's right in the midst of every situation. And if you would be aware of that and communicate with him, whether it's through your mouth or through your heart, I believe you begin to open up a new channel of relationship with God and a new understanding of his faithfulness. And I believe dreams like this are possible. Whether it's a dream or not, I know the answers are possible. I know the relationship you can have with God is possible like Solomon has. And that's what we're going to do on this journey into prayer. We're not going to get into the schematics only of prayer, which we will, but we're going to get into the heart of prayer, the attitude of prayer, which is a lifestyle. I love to hear people pray. But you can always tell somebody who really has a prayer life by the way they pray. Just by the way it flows out of them. It's natural. They don't have problems talking to God. Amen? Because they've been doing it all day long. Now watch this. So Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem, and he stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and he offered up He just did 1,000 burnt offerings before. Now, in the tent of meeting there in Gibeon, the ark wasn't there. It was taken back to Jerusalem. So he goes to the Ark of the Covenant, and he offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. Well, I would too. If I just told I'm going to be the wisest man in the world, have understanding and riches, and I'm going to live a long time. Let's party. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Everybody gets a part of the bonus. But he went back and he worshiped God. You know, a lot of people, they get their prayers answered and they get things from God and then they forget about them and go on. But Solomon continued this communication with God, and he realized and he recognized that if it wasn't for God, there would be no way that he could continue on. Now, Solomon had his problems later on, and that's not part of the subject, but the subject matter is this. We must continue our prayer life just like we're breathing. It needs to be natural, okay? Here's a couple notes I want to give you, and I'll get out of your way. Praying does not always include being awake or answered as you and I suppose it should. Prayer does not always include being awake or answered as you and I suppose it should. In other words, God can answer you any way he wants to answer. He can answer you through somebody else. He'll have a heathen say something if he can use a donkey. Okay? What Solomon asked in prayer, this is important, you write this down. What Solomon asked in prayer is what he was thinking of. Again, I believe it's all part of starting your day out, just meditating and praying and talking to God and communicating, especially if there's a need. If there's something that's really you're wanting to see happen in your life, and just continuously speak to the Father about it. Sometimes he'll answer you right away. Sometimes it'll be just a pondering of your heart, and he'll get to you on that. It's not him delaying the answer necessarily. He's trying to get you into position to receive it. All right? Here's my final statements, a few statements here. Your life should be your prayers, and your prayers should be your life. Your life should be your prayers, and your prayers should be your life. In other words, it's just interchangeable. I have this saying on one of my cue cards that sometimes I get them out on just things I've said over the years, but prayer is a believer's breath. Prayer is the believer's breath. We should always be praying. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. So I want to leave you with this question here, or this statement. You have two choices of two types of prayer. Number one, mechanical, or number two, relational. Ponder that. Selah. Think about it. Meditate. Decide. You have two choices and two types of prayer, mechanical or relational. I don't want mechanical. Mechanical or relational? I don't want mechanical. I don't want to pull it out of a can. I don't want to pull it out of the bread of life, the little thing you pull out the scripture and you pray the scripture, whatever. I want it to be relational with God. I want him to know how thankful I am, whether he gives me anything else in life at all. I just want him to know I'm grateful that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer all these things I used to be. And I'm thankful I'm alive today. Amen. And then keeping that continuous relationship. So let's choose relational over mechanical. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching tonight. I pray that we'll continue to go on this journey to understand the depths of prayer, that it's a lifestyle with you. And there's so many great attributes of prayer that we're going to get into. But Father, I know your heart. You really want us to be in communication with you all the time, not when we just need you. Not when someone just has a prayer request, but we just talk to you and sing a new song and worship you. Father, I believe that's your heart, that you want us to come in and dine with you and fellowship with you. Help us to do that through this teaching. We love you, Father. We pray for this nation. We pray for the world. We pray for President Trump. We pray for leaders all around the world, Father, to make the right decision in the coming days. God, we need you. We need a revival in America. We need a reformation in America. We need a great shaking of the Holy Ghost. And I pray you do it soon, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you. See you Sunday. See you Sunday. See you Sunday.